These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
Good morning, students. I'm Lauren Davis here for Bravo Breakdowns to talk about part two of the Salt Lake City reunion. And we have one of our favorite guests, friend of the show. You know him for his excellent and nuanced and emotionally intelligent takes on social media. And he's blowing up. Give it up for Josh Theroni Stan.
Yay. Hey, y'all. Thank you for having me back.
Thanks for coming. And you're in LA right now. So
yeah,
LA.
Being a little West Coast elitist.
I love it.
Usually I'm an East Coast elitist, so I'm just on the other coast. Right, still being an elitist.
Yeah, it's just a different energy elitism. Yeah.
I'm eating more acai bowls, drinking more smoothies.
Right. The tacos. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Well, okay. Before we get into the episode, I've got to get your take on the big news of the week, which is Kyle and Amanda's divorce from someone.
Yeah. It's kind of surprised me. And then I was like, why am I surprised? I think it was just the timing that was surprising because we were all kind of operating under the assumption that we would find this out when the show aired.
Right.
So it was a little bit surprising now to drop it. But I mean, I'm very happy for Amanda. I think she is going to thrive. I think a lot of us feel like this decision could have been made many moons ago, but it was her journey, and I'm glad that she eventually came to this decision because I don't think they were compatible in a variety of ways. So very excited to see her journey after this.
Yes. Yeah, me too. Once she's like kind of out of that gilded reality TV cage of their marriage.
It's also just funny that they did the spinoff now in the way that they did, because I think we all kind of wanted it to just be the women, but I feel like Bravo felt like they needed to include Kyle in it as well. But now it's like, I don't want Kyle on it over Amanda. Like, I'd rather have it be Amanda and the girls. So they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with that show after the first season, which is interesting.
That's really interesting. Cause I do think like, I felt the same way as you, and it was the same way I felt about Bronwyn and Todd announcing their divorce, where it's like, wow, why am I so surprised by this? But it's like, just cause it's like, we all knew it was probably going to happen, but the timing is just like, what? Like right before the reunion or right before the, you know, new season of Summer House airs. Which I think is like kind of smart on both parts, you know, it gets a little.
Yeah, no, definitely. I also just feel like the internet like gaslit me so hard about Amanda and Kyle being like, it's just for the show. Like she'll never actually leave him. So then when she did, I was like, oh my God, she actually did. Yay.
Yeah. See, I feel like they the show might be a huge part of it, I guess, like where it's like they have this like the Valley type show for people to graduate to from Summer House. And like Bravo, I feel like is, you know, there's always going to be a home for Kyle on that show. And so it's like he was like, we can have a family and stuff once we leave reality TV. And now it's like becoming clear he was bullshitting her the whole time, never had any intention to ever leave reality TV, like what was more clear from the outside. And that he just like wants to be a lifer. But I do think that would be, I hadn't even considered that they would like oust him to make it like the Lindsay and Amanda and then maybe Paige show later. That would be like,
I don't think Bravo actually would, but I think that's what the audience would prefer, or at least my side of the audience.
Because I want to see her finally do any of the things she's talked about and be supported, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm much more invested in her story than his at this point, especially now that he's gonna be just like a sad divorce DJ dad, or not even dad, man. Like, I don't, like, who needs to see that? But the Bravo audience loves their men, so I shouldn't speak for the whole audience, but my side of the audience just wants the girls.
I think that they should make the spinoff, like, let's hear it for the girls, because I do think the girls are, like, the most popular ones on Summer House, and then just have, like, a kind of general flop house for the men to graduate to. And it's like, Sandoval can live there, Schwartz, Kyle, Carl. It's just, like, the house of flops. And then, you know, whoever wants that can watch that.
Yeah, the 50-year-old boy moms can have that show, and the rest of us can enjoy the real people that are normal on the network.
Yes, yeah. And that would probably be a lot of the show, is them, like, romancing, you know, 50-year-old conservative Bravo fans. Like, I would watch, like, an episode or two, but I wouldn't, yeah, like,
I'm like, it actually sounds like an interesting television at this point, but I am wondering how soon it's going to be until Kyle starts dating a 26-year-old. I feel like it's inevitable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I didn't even think about, but he's like someone who I feel will follow a DiCaprio type path of continuing to date much younger women. Dark. A chill went up my spine.
No, truly. I'm actually so excited. I mean, I really am trying to be like polite and gentle about the divorce of it all, but I am very excited that now I get to speak about this upcoming season of Summer House without having to, like, censor myself to be like, well, I don't want to be too mean to Amanda's husband. No, now I can eviscerate him as I choose.
Yes. And that's when Summer House is best, is like when we're really, you know, all just collectively destroying the men. That's like what I feel like Summer House is founded on, man.
It's true. It's what they deserve.
It's what they deserve. Letting it rip on those dirt bags. They had it too good the first few seasons, and the women were the shrill harpies. And then it's completely turned around, and they're the villains. And that's how the show works best, I think.
It's true.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into this reunion episode of Salt Lake. What did you think of part two, Josh?
I'm having such an interesting experience with this reunion and the back half of this season generally, because I'm truly switching sides every episode. And this episode, I think I landed on, I don't need to be on a side. I think I hate all of these people, actually.
Yeah, we were talking with Jay Renna about that, like, the back half I was feeling meh about. I was like, it just pivoted so hard into the Meredith stuff, and like we forgot all the other storylines. I don't know how I feel about it. And he was like, no, the way to watch it is to, like, you know, be like, are you pro Meredith or are you anti Meredith? Who is telling the truth? Like, you have to get invested in it, because in the finale it flips. It seems like they're all attacking. And then, yeah, the first part of the reunion, I feel like it was very, I feel like it made Lisa look a lot better that she was just letting it slide off of her back. And then this part of the reunion, Lisa gets repeatedly waxed, like, and then Meredith is just not helping her at all, and then, like, really digs her own grave at the end. So it's like, I do think if you watch it in terms of, like, oh, sides, this is, I think, the episode where you're like, no, you know, we need all of them. They all work,
yeah,
together.
No, they're all perfect and demonic in their own way. And I think that is the way to watch it. Cause yeah, I've tried so hard to be like, okay, but who's right? And I don't think any of them are. And that's maybe for the best.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's always, like, with Salt Lake City, I feel like a little bit of the sense of, like, they're all in cahoots, like it's a conspiracy, you know? And like,
well, especially in this episode, we see them talking about all these conversations that have happened off camera about Rolling Thunder. I don't even know what they're talking about. And like, it just feels like there are a lot of things happening off
the
show.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like, I sometimes think about what their threads and, like, emails and Slack all looks like, and, like, how they keep it all straight. And I'm like, these ladies are geniuses, because they have so much planned, so much that's off limits, like, so much, like,
it's,
like,
it's true.
Yeah, they are CEOs of reality TV. Okay, so we ended on a cliffhanger with Angie bringing out the scroll. Something about Angie, she always flops at reunions, but it's endearing to me.
And she just looks so gorgeous. How can you hold it against her?
She looked she was the best dressed, I think.
I fully think so, yeah.
Yeah. Even though she, like, looked a little bit like the lady dancing emoji in the red dress, but she looked the contest.
In a good way.
In a good
way. As a compliment.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Complimentary emoji. She's like, Andy undoes the scroll, and the scroll is like, has a social media account that's been, like, trolling Angie for 2 years, and it's linked to Lisa's number, and Lisa's like, yes, it is my number, but it's not me. And then they, like, argue, and it just, it was a bit of a as it was decreed, a prop flop. I felt.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think I had mixed feelings because at first I was like, well, I know that Lisa is like so deep in the comments, so it's like not that far fetched to think that she would do something like this. But then I was like, okay, but she's in the comments as herself all the time. Why would she have to make a fake account to do it? And then when they showed the screenshot, I was like, no, that's not Lisa, because mm-hmm. the comment was way too literate. Every comment that Lisa makes is like a million grammar or spelling errors or just like repeated words or just not making any sense. So I think Lisa was vindicated there.
Do you think it could have been like a bot? Like just paying a bot? But I think they all do that too.
I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't matter, though.
I don't think it matters, yeah.
Because it's like you said, it's like she's saying way meaner and more incriminating stuff herself on her Twitter. So it's like her saying, you know, like liking negative comments about Angie from a fake account. It's like that's not as bad as like literally what she's saying to your face on Twitter.
Yeah. No,
like jumping in people's comments.
Yeah. And like threatening to sue people in their DMs. Yeah. No, she does much worse.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But she tried. And she brought her Greek storyline full circle with it, I guess. So she's like, you know.
And I support her, even though it was a flop.
Yes.
I love Angie.
I kind of love her floppery. Like,
yes.
I love, yeah. Yeah.
I
like,
love
iconic.
Last season when she, like, randomly kicked that chair. Like, I love when she just, like, does weird things. I'm like, yes, as she should be.
I think Andy loves that, too. I think she's kind of like a bad soap opera actress sometimes. Like, she, like, has those, like, vicious, overwritten lines with a very flat delivery, and it's very, like, not landing. And, like, that's just, like, so the sweet spot for him.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I hope she never stops.
Yes. Yeah. She should not change. And so, yeah, so then they're doing their back and forth, which like once the two of them, it is like a dogfight. It's like neither of them can let up. They're talking over each other. And Andy does his first ever. He's notoriously a hater of walking away at reunions, but he has to step away. Was this as dramatic as you thought it would be from the trailer or?
No, and I guess I didn't actually think it was going to be, so it kind of met my low expectations, I would say.
Okay, you were smart. I was like, ooh, and then it's like, he doesn't even fully get all the way away. He's just like,
no,
lady,
he just
don't make
standing
me count to 10.
Like, no, he was really giving, like, teacher and elementary school teacher in this episode the whole time.
Yes. But they're all such good students that literally it's like just the threat. They're like, no, 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 Daddy,
yeah,
Andy, please.
This cast specifically is so desperate for his approval that I think it worked more than it would have with a different cast.
Exactly. It was more of a bargaining technique than an actual exasperation. Like, I'm done, you know?
Yeah, he was like smiling as he was doing it. Yes. Like, he knew what he was doing.
It was now that he's a parent, it's like, I feel like we're going to see these types of, you know, ways to keep people in line more and more. So then we come back and Heather, this is when we hear about Rolling Thunder. And this is so Salt Lake that they just drop us into this idea of Rolling Thunder and fight about it for like 2 minutes before we have like any idea what they're talking about. We're just like supposed to understand Rolling Thunder.
It was very strange, yeah.
And
there were a couple things in this episode where I was like, I don't know that they needed to air that. Like, so many things that just, like, don't really make sense to us, I feel like.
Yes, and I feel like this season, they really, like, that's kind of why I was a little disappointed in the back half. It seemed like this season, Heather and Whitney, their main mission was like, okay, we are going to make sure the audience knows what's going on. Whenever something's talked about on camera, we'll talk about it as a group. We'll explain it. We'll revisit what Soup Man is, you know, like, and really get to the bottom of things. And then in the back half, they're like, you know what, whatever. You know, like, they just like, they're like, it's just going to be what it is.
No, that's actually really true. Yeah, no, it did feel like a completely different season in the first half and the second half. And I missed the first half.
I missed the first half. Like, but I do understand. It's like, I guess it is so hard to keep it on track just because it's like a good problem to have. They all work so hard as housewives, like, you know, trying to keep good relationships with each other while digging shit up on each other and being like, what can we say? What can't we say? Da, 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 da. But it's like, it is confusing when it's like all of a sudden Rolling Thunder and they're like, oh yeah, you guys don't know about this thing that we talk about all the time. It's the guy who Meredith was seeing when she got a divorce from Seth. So this is like a thing. We watched it at our little like weekly viewing party and show in Texas, and Rolling Thunder, one of our theories was there's a Garth Brooks song called When the Thunder Rolls. And it's about, it's like Garth Brooks is like the narrator, and it's this guy comes home and he sees his wife in bed with another man, and then she shoots the husband.
Oh my God. So wait, this is the Southern knowledge that you bring to the table that I love.
The Southern Gothic. Yeah. And I'm not sure if that's like, I mean, I bet Mormons listen to Garth Brooks, you know? So I'm like, it could be.
There has to be some crossover there, I would say, yeah.
Yeah. Or it's like some kind of like Thunder from Down Under Australian stripper. And, you know, maybe that's like his stage name. Much to consider that we won't get to the bottom of.
Yeah, that we'll never find out the truth. Yeah. So why are we even considering it? That's
I know.
True.
The speculation is a little bit fun, but So then Heather is like showing this while being like, I've been such a great friend to you. That was Heather's big thing, was like, me and Meredith have always been such good friends. And I'm like, have they really?
Not that I recall. I mean, I remember them being in what seemed to be a clear alliance for the show, but I never perceived them to be this like great friendship.
Yeah, it was more like enemy of my enemy is my friend. Once like, you know, the fucked half of New York hot mic moment went down, then, you know, Meredith didn't have Lisa anymore, and I feel like she and Heather kind of buddied up. But I never felt like they were, they're never like laughing and having fun like, you know, she does with Whitney or Jen or anyone.
No, it's true.
Yeah. So that's like my one thing with Heather is like she sometimes pushes relationship plot a little hard. I appreciate everything she does to keep storylines on track, but like, with her, it doesn't ever ring true if it's like coming from her feelings. It's like, it's better for her just to organize.
No, I think so too. Yeah, she just, it's a little over the top. And yeah. I respect it. I get what she's doing. But I feel like, especially this season, she just like really like jumped the shark a little bit for me. And I'm like, let's come back down to earth a bit.
I think some of it was like, and it was fun in the first half, but I think it's part of it. She was so drunk all season and then still running the show. She was in a blackout all the time and like worked up until they got off the boat. And then it's like, okay, maybe one less drink while you run this finale episode.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, we need somebody running the show who's alert.
Yeah, yeah. And like between her and Whitney, it's like sometimes neither. So before you throw stones at Meredith for not being alert, it's like, you know, she's just there to, that's literally her job, is to like, you know, drunkenly give a "you can leave" type quote.
Yeah, that's literally the entire reason that they keep renewing her contract.
Exactly. And so it's like, if anything, I do feel like there's a little projection in the whole her deal. So then we get the break. I loved this. I always love the breaks when we peek behind the curtain.
No, me too.
And then we have like, bad weather, of course, sitting on the couch being like, Meredith's not standing up for Lisa. Lisa seems so media trained. Like, at least, you know, she's just like not responding to anything. And then Bronwyn having the same conversation with like Mary and Angie. And then Meredith and Lisa having a conversation where it's like, you're doing great. And Lisa's like, tell me how I'm doing great. Like,
that was so funny. I loved that. it was just so real and so her.
Yes. It was so like pageant mom. Like, what part did you like? You know, like.
No, that was like actually one of my favorite moments of the episode. I thought that was hilarious.
I loved it. And it carried over. Like, I feel like the part one was just carried by how funny Lisa was and how Lisa was being. And so it was nice to have a couple really iconically funny Lisa moments in here. And then Lisa's like, okay, well, we've got to like back each other. And Meredith, like, they just like kind of sit in silence after that. Do you think Meredith, will she ever like stick her neck out for another housewife? I don't think that's really her thing.
No. And I think that she genuinely believes that she does for Lisa. Like, I don't think that she understands the criticism that she gets for not. I think that in her mind, she is being the best and supportive friend she can be. And maybe that's the best she can do. And I support that for her.
I think so, too, because it's like, look at the way she stands up for herself. Usually her standing up for herself is like her, like, being silent or like storming out, you know,
yeah,
like that's
no, it's just not really her vibe. And yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Her brand of advocacy is like passive aggressive, you know, silence and like dodging. And so it's
and
like,
I kind of relate.
Yeah.
I've actually gotten multiple comments before of people being like, you like really remind me of the Marx family. And I'm like, that's literally the nicest thing you could ever say to me. Like, thank you so much.
I could see that you've got like Marx energy, like, you know, like intellectual, you know, like coolly detached, observational, you know, not getting
that's how
into
I like
the muck.
That's how I want to be. Yeah. That's
okay,
what I aspire to be, a Marx.
Yes, but like more down to earth, I would say.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. When's your tracksuit line coming out?
Oh, my God. I'm working on it. Hopefully there are less shipping problems than with Brooks, because.
Oh, yikes. Yeah. That, especially now. It's tough stuff. I do think that's smart. They have smart branding where it's like, we're just going to do this one thing that no one else does in the Bravos. We're going to do caviar bar. We have no other competing New York Housewives caviar bars. No other competing Housewives, because Sheree didn't make the joggers. It's like, it's smart to not do. It's what Bethany said.
Yeah, no, it's very strategic. I also will say I recently tried. I have tried Meredith Marks caviar, and I recently tried another caviar, and Meredith's was better.
Wow. Okay, that says a lot.
It was good.
Yeah. I hear Vita is great, too.
I've never encountered it.
I have never encountered it.
And we probably never will.
We never will, but
unless we go to her place in Utah, but I don't know that I'm ever going to that state.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that is like it's like going to Mecca, you know, it's the dream, but I don't know if I will. So then we get to the Mary Cosby stuff. Mary M stands for mediator, says Andy. And I'm glad that they have taken like a couple moments in part one and part two to just kind of like revisit the question that is still in like my mind. Everyone's, I don't think it could ever be fully answered because she's such a mystery. But like, how did Mary go from really not wanting to participate in the show to being like the glue of this franchise?
No, it is very interesting, and I don't think we will ever get the answer, but I'm just so glad that it happened.
Me too. I never would have predicted it too, you know, like that she's really such a, she's knows people's like what's going on in their relationships better than anyone. She's more genuinely invested.
And we saw, I mean, we'll get there, but I loved when she was tussling with Lisa in this episode. I feel like that's a side of her we haven't seen in a minute.
Yes. It was like, she still has the chops, like, you know, she, pew, pew. she is an assassin when she wants to. She gets like that headshot and just, it's a fatality, dude. They talk about a little bit about Robert Jr. being in prison. I did think it was interesting that Mary, he's like 20 minutes away, and Mary's like, well, I would never visit him in jail. That would be weird.
That was like a bizarre answer to give. Yeah, no, if I was in jail, my mom would be visiting me like as much as was legally allowed.
Yeah, I'm like, weird how? But everyone's too scared of her to follow up.
Yeah,
like,
no, nobody's going to question it. But I was like, would that be weird? Like, why?
Why?
Especially if you're talking to him every day. Like, you may as well just have the conversations in real life. But
right.
Sure. It would be weird. I believe her.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, I guess she's the same with hospitals, right? She won't visit anyone in hospitals. She's got her
strong... She has something about public facilities.
Yeah. So Heather volunteers to send him one of her books, and Mary's like, oh yeah, that's so sweet, that'd be great. And then Andy's like, have you read it? Like, there's a chapter about you. And Mary's like, nope.
I don't know what that says about me because I have read the books and I don't remember there being a chapter about Mary. So it wasn't that interesting, apparently.
Yeah, I guess it's like all these like reality TV books. It's like you got to talk about the franchise. Otherwise, it's like no one cares.
Yeah.
Right. Like, but yeah, I don't fault Mary for not reading it.
No, it truly was not that interesting.
Did you read both? You read Bad Mormon and what's the other one?
A Good Time Girl. Is that what it is? I think I've read both of them. And I literally could not tell you much. I remember Bad Mormon a little bit more because obviously that's about like the Mormon things. Mm-hmm. But I don't really remember what the second book was largely about the show. But the second book was so much about Monica and her like diving into that situation in a way that I did not think was particularly interesting. And so that's why I don't remember it.
Yeah. Yeah. I that would be tough for me because I was like kind of a fan of what Monica brought to the show. Just that she was so confident as a newbie, and then also obviously like the finale was so epic, and that it does like worry me a little, Heather's like power and control over the franchise. The more like that comes out, like the more there's backlash against Heather this season, then it feels like the women, like Lisa is talking about how like Heather was the one who kicked Monica off the show, and like I don't know, I get worried when it's like ousting people. I never want it to be like, you know, Heather controlling the faction to oust Meredith or Lisa. I couldn't lose them.
No, I agree. Definitely think that. But I think on some level, I'm glad that Heather has had this falling out with Lisa and Meredith, because I think them as a trio was like too powerful.
Yes.
Them as individuals, especially, it's really just Heather and Lisa who have actual power over things and are vocal enough to use it. So I think them actually being on opposite sides of things is good for kind of balancing that out.
I agree. It for sure evens it out in terms of, just like their power at Bravo, I feel like, is like, you know, Heather has the most and then Lisa the second most. They just cast her on Ultimate Road Trip. So it's like there needs to be that.
They're the two favorites, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then. So they get a little bit into the docuseries.
I was surprised that they brought that up.
I kind of really liked the way Bravo handled it, that they were like, because they could really, like, you know, the docuseries, I started it, but it's like, it's all just like Reddit, YouTube, you know, like TikTok clips, and all of it was taken without telling anyone. Like, it's not good journalism. And they like, you know, scooped Bravo basically, but like they just kind of let the wives like diss it. You know, Lisa, this is old news, like, you know, fans support you. Like, I do think that like they could have really trashed it a lot harder, but Bravo was like, you know what, it's beneath us.
No, I think this was a smart way, and also like I am surprised that they talked about it, but I actually do think that that was like a good move for kind of taking the power out of it.
Yeah to address it. I think like ignoring it, like I just feel like they handled it quite well. They talk about the doc, and Meredith uses that to explain that like she sticking up for a friend means you got to know like what you're sticking up for, and that's why she didn't back like Lisa 100% at the beginning when it came to like all of the legal stuff, factoring her receivables. And Mary is like, well, you guys are like such good friends now, and it's weird because hello, garbage whore. And he's like, it is weird that you guys are just like over that. Like, we all think about that all the time. And I was like, I kind of do too, I guess. I'm like, I guess I didn't think about other viewers having the same experience. Like, do you think about that when you see them like all of a sudden besties?
I actually don't. And I think it's like a little bit funny how much some people fixate on it, just because I feel like these shows are based on people saying the most insane and out-of-pocket shit to each other and then being best friends the next season. And I guess I'm just so desensitized to it with this cast specifically. Like, the Angie text about Bronwyn was one of the craziest things I've ever heard in my life, and they, like, didn't even hold it against each other. So, I don't know. Yeah. It's like, on so, I guess that was, I mean, that was worse what Lisa said about Meredith, but it was so long ago, like they were saying.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, yeah, with this cast, with all the cast, you get whiplash, like, you know, trying to, yeah, like Angie and Lisa were close last season, you know, like it changes so often. I guess with Meredith, it's like so much of the bonding with her is just in general going to happen off camera. Like suddenly she was just best friends with Mary and now suddenly she's close with Lisa. She's just not going to have those kind of like fake makeup scenes, really. It's like just suddenly it's like, you know, Meredith just became closer to this person in the off season, and that's what it is.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I also guess I feel like I am insane all the time because one of my biggest issues with Lisa has been her relationship with Meredith, but not because of the hot mic moment because of season 4, when before the Monica takedown happened, Lisa was the one like leading the charge, being like, Meredith is like sending these DMs and like all this stuff. And nobody ever talks about that. And I thought Lisa was so bad to Meredith that season, like turning on her so soon after the hot mic moment when she vowed to be a good friend to her. And nobody ever brings this up. And I'm like, did I make it up? Was that real?
Yeah, that's true. I never even like I never even thought about that because it's like, yeah, like it's really Monica like kind of lets all of the blame fall on Meredith. And Meredith, again, like defends herself the same way she defends Lisa, kind of just takes it and then is eventually like exonerated while like Lisa is absolutely whacking her. And then, you know, no one is like, sorry about that, Meredith, and just because too much other shit is happening. Like,
yeah, but I also think that that is the scene, I believe, where that's all happening and Lisa is being so mean to Meredith. But then you can see that there is a real friendship there, because there's the moment where they're like in the bus or sprinter van and Meredith like is like, wait, Lisa, come here, like I want to tell you about like Brooke's like modeling thing. Like there clearly is this like strong bond between them that doesn't really make sense to the audience, but I do think it's real.
Yeah, yeah. And they were friends, I feel like, before the show,
yeah,
too.
I think for right? a while, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, good for them. I mean, like, I think that, like, even if Meredith's friendships are, like, somewhat political, it's like, I don't know why it's, like, people fixate on that more than any of the other. They're all political.
Exactly.
You know? But that doesn't mean they're not friends.
Yeah. Yeah. No, both things can be true.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So then Andy asks Lisa if she was happy that Mary stood up for her in this season with Meredith being like, you know, you need to stand up for Lisa more. And then Mary just like jumps in so quick, the sniper Mary, and goes, she didn't even hear the question. And Andy, sometimes she doesn't even listen. She doesn't know what you just asked her. And Lisa's just sitting still, blinking quickly. All the women are talking around her. She's like, has ramrod posture.
That
she
was
does
so
not
funny.
Remember. It was so crazy.
I love her, unfortunately.
I love her. Oh, my God. She's hilarious.
But I also have so many problems with her, but I don't even really, like, she just blocked me the other day. Well, so I actually, me and Lisa are now at one block each. I blocked her on TikTok, like, 2 years ago because she yelled at me for something, and I was like, I'm not doing this with you. And now she has now blocked me on Instagram. So we're tied.
Wow. Oh, you guys have, yeah, you guys are like her and Meredith, you know, it's like one for one. And then now you guys will be best of friends next season.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, it's just, she's like, she's just so funny, I guess. It's like, I can forgive so much when someone's making me laugh. And that's why I kind of liked the first half of the season where they're going after her, because it's like, it doesn't, she's just so funny when she's being attacked, and she's so active and she can dish it back. She's just such a worthy foe, you know?
It's true.
Yeah. But Meredith, or not Meredith, but Mary really, I feel like, is the first person who like really eats her lunch and gets the better of her over the whole season. Like, she just has nothing to clap back because she just like really got her while her defenses were down. I'm not happy about anything when it comes to you, Lisa. You are very dark.
That was crazy. I mean, crazy. I understand where Mary's coming from, but I kind of felt like my reaction was similar to Lisa's, where I was just like so taken aback by it. I was like, yeah. What is going on? Like, where is this coming from? But I also loved it.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, Mary's been so defanged this like whole season. And then suddenly it's like, yeah, and the claws are out. It was so surprising. But that's how she got her. You know,
yeah,
that's her defense.
It was great.
It was great. So then, of course, we have to go back to the plane, the whole plane situation. Brittany, like, you know, she brought up the TikTok where someone saw Seth with a supposed mistress. Meredith was upset, but went nuts on the plane. As of today, they say Meredith and Brittany still have no relationship. And Andy's like, why did no one record? And I do think they gave the most compelling case for themselves, which is that like Brittany got in so much trouble for recording on the finale, but that explains why Brittany didn't. But what about the rest of them?
No, that answer doesn't really do much for me personally.
Yeah.
Also like that, I just don't think it's the same thing. Like, Brittany was like an outsider to the group at that time. I think if Brittany was like more of a real person in their eyes, I don't think they would have reacted in the way that they did to that. Like, I just think if like Heather started recording in this situation, they would not have had the reaction that they did to Brittany in that moment. Yeah. I don't know. But I guess maybe they just didn't think of it. I don't know. I don't really understand.
Can I just say I hope Brittany will never be a real person to them? Like, that's really where she
shines. It's the funniest thing ever that they just, like, don't view her as a person. Like, it's so hilarious. And, like, I almost feel bad sometimes, but then she always does something that makes me be like, no, I actually don't feel bad. It's fine.
And I feel like it doesn't affect her that much because she's still in her bubble. You know, if it really hurt her, that would be tough. But she's like, you know, in her Disney princess, like she's living her dream while they are treating her like, you know, like little sister who like, don't hang out with us. You're not cool enough. You know,
no, she's so thrilled to be there that that stuff like doesn't bother her in the way that it would most people.
Yes. Yeah, it's just like annoying kid sister energy, and she kind of needs to be friend of forever.
If they ever gave her the snowflake, I would actually be annoyed, but as a friend, she's great. And I even thought it was so funny the way that when she says that she has proof of Seth doing things outside of the marriage, and then even Whitney is like, that's not proof. Like, when even Whitney is being like, girl, like, you cannot use that, like, that's when you know that you've gone too far.
Yes, because you know that, like, yeah, any kind of case you're making against Meredith, she will try to get on board and beef it up. Like, she's really reached for stuff. We did, like, the last night in our show, we read this script from the Jizz for Jazz episode, and that, like, it's still so deranged that Whitney got drunk and then literally tried to say that Meredith said what she said about Jizz for Jazz until finally like flipping it at the end. But Heather did make her pay for that for like two seasons, I feel like.
For so long.
But I'm glad, I don't know, I'm glad they're back on the same team. Do you think Bad Weather is too much of a menace together, or do you like them working together?
Well, it's hard because I like Whitney so much more than I like Heather that I'm kind of like, I wish I like it a little bit. I really like Whitney and Angie's friendship, so I kind of like when Whitney is like more gravitating towards Angie. But I like Bad Weather also. Like, they're fun. They're so demonic together that it's entertaining to me. I guess I like when Whitney, it felt like Whitney made some progress in not being just like so transparently ridiculous the last couple seasons. Like, I started to feel like maybe Whitney like does have like some rational, normal behaviors. And then like this season in the back half, it was like, no, she's back to just like being Heather's sidekick. And I like it when she's her own person, but I am very entertained by them.
Yeah, I completely agree, where like you could really see her mission statement in the first season, where she's like, okay, rebranding, personal storyline, going to open up and like control the narrative about my business. I'm going to be really horny again. I'm going to talk about swinging on TV for the first time and like basically, you know, like hint that maybe I am, but I won't say it till my kids are grown up. And then in the back half, it was just like attack Meredith. But
exactly,
you know, two steps forward, one step back. You know, and I love Whitney too. It makes me, my pet peeve is when people say she's dumb. I'm like, she's so smart.
She's a genius, and I hope they renew her contract until season 100.
Me too. Me too. I feel like she would be still like a hot, swinging, pole dancing, like granny rocking the show. She's
absolutely
like,
and still like trying to launch businesses, but like unsuccessfully every single time.
Yes. I love it. Did you see somebody posted like all of the reviews of Whitney Rose Cosmetics where it was like this product gave me a rash. Product gave me herpes. No, it didn't give herpes. But
poor Whitney. She's poor doing Whitney. Her best. They were going to be in Sephora. It's so sad.
He forced her to go MLM. So then we get this conversation, this Meredith Brittany fight kind of takes a turn.
Yeah, I was not anticipating that.
Yeah. So Brittany like talks about like, I'm sorry about the seizure thing, but I felt triggered because my daughter has seizures and your movements are seizure like, which is like hilariously.
I don't even think Brittany believed it when she was saying that. Like, her heart was not in that. Yeah.
And then, Meredith and Heather get into it again. Like, Meredith, you know, you remember things, but then sometimes you don't. And then this was a good bad weather win Whitney's like, you, like, were, like, told me about the TikTok. And then Meredith's like, no, you said, show me the fucking TikTok. And then they're like, see, you did it. You did it again. You like, remember that part, but none of the rest. So I don't know. What do you think happened on the plane, Josh? I don't even know
that I care. Yeah, I literally don't care. But I mean, definitely the story has shifted from the anti-Meredith camp on this. Like it does feel like what they were saying at first on the show, they have kind of backtracked. Like, even in this, we see, and a lot of people were talking about this on Twitter when they're like, well, it was happening like when the plane was descending. And it was like, okay, well, no, that's not what you were saying before. So
yeah.
I think the truth is somewhere in the middle, but I think that Meredith hasn't necessarily done herself any favors with the way that she's been defending herself about it, because she's clearly minimizing it more than, I don't know, but I'm also like, I kind of get it, because if I was in her position and they started off like so strong, exaggerating it so much, I would be annoyed too. So that's why I'm like, coming out of this episode, I'm like, I think they just all are wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the way like Meredith is just so stubborn where it's like, if she'd even like, they're just pissed at her where it's like, you can't even do like a little piece of it. Like,
yeah, no, you know, exactly.
Like, and it got them legitimately so frustrated that they couldn't like concentrate on any of the rest of it. And it is, I do get why they're frustrated, because Andy's like, well, okay, let's just talk about, did you have a drink before you got on the plane? And Meredith's like, next question. You know, she won't even admit that. It's like, okay, well, I mean, come on.
Yeah. And she said she's happy to revisit that question. We'll see, I guess, in part three if they follow through on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I honestly, let's just let it go, you know, at this point. Although maybe it's better than like what we get into, because I hope we don't get into it deeper in part three. Meredith's like, I actually have such a fractured relationship with Brittany from the beginning of the season, and it's rooted in her bigotry, because they went to the same nail guy. Meredith realized he was a bigot, and then Brittany still wrote a glowing review for him after he was review bombed for being a bigot. But Brittany's like, but I didn't know, like, and the same way that like when you went to him, you didn't know. We're both guilty of the same thing, not knowing. And Meredith's like, well, it's really something that I have felt from the beginning, that kind of, you didn't like me because I'm Jewish. And then it's like the end. It's like, ay, 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 this went crazy at the end. This is so crazy.
I did not expect that when Meredith said that. Yeah, I think I have mixed feelings about it, because on some level I'm like, okay, Brittany, which I guess maybe I shouldn't be comparing my behavior to Brittany. I don't know that we're operating on the same playing field, but whatever. If I was in a position where somebody came to me and was like, hey, like my business is getting all these like really horrible reviews, can you do this for me? I feel like I would question why they were getting the bad reviews, because it's like not usually a secret. I feel like I was just thinking about this because I saw something popped up for some reason on like Reddit or something about, a few months ago when something about her was getting review bombed because of the Charlie Kirk, whatever. Mm-hmm. And when that was happening, it was so clear in all the reviews, like, why the people were saying these things. Like, they're not quiet about it when these things are happening. Like, it's very apparent what the reason is. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, Brittany, did you even look at, like, any of the bad reviews? Did you even, like, question a little bit why this person is having this happen to their business? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard for me to sympathize with her in that because that's just so dumb.
Yeah.
But I also don't even believe what – I don't believe that Meredith believes what she said at the end about Brittany. Like, I don't think that she actually thinks that.
No. And I'm like, did she even have that locked and loaded? Or was it just, like, as the story, like, came out and she kind of – like, as they talked about it and she kind of realized, like, oh, my gosh, wait, Brittany maybe is that dumb. She was like, I need something else. Like, I don't know, you know. Or
yeah.
If she really felt
no,
like
that's
that.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it was premeditated of her to say that or not. I don't know. It just felt made up to me. Like, I was like, I just don't. And I almost understood where Brittany was coming from to some extent, even though I'm so not sympathetic to her usually, where she was like, you're literally just like saying things because you're just like saying the worst things you can think of to say about me. I like kind of think that that was true in that moment.
Yeah, I think so. Because it's like when you like are mad at someone, then you take all of their actions in bad faith, right? And it's like you're rethinking. You're like, actually, from the beginning, this makes sense. You know, I do think that maybe, like, after that happened, Meredith did believe that, you know, because she's like, it's all making sense. But it's just, I guess it's just, like, so surprising because it's like, I mean, it seems like Jared is conservative. So it's like, I would think it would be more about, you know, maybe them being MAGA or something like that, like, where, you know, she actually had a point there that people would be sympathetic to, instead of like this really out of left field idea that like Brittany is anti-Semitic and never liked Meredith because she's from a Jewish family and got bat mitzvahed in season 5.
Yeah, I guess I also just felt like this was one of the moments where I was like, did they need to leave this in the final cut?
A little tough. Yeah, really tough for – just tough. Especially and then during now, you know, it's, like, hard to even talk about because it's, like, you know, tensions are so high. Like, there is anti-Semitism. It's just all crazy, you know. It's like,
Yeah. No, I wish that that conversation didn't happen in the most – I mean, and I guess maybe they felt like they needed to leave it in or else Meredith would, like – Be like well, the network is in on it too. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, but, it might just be like illegal.
It's hard because I really am attempting to be sympathetic to Meredith's stance here. And like, mm-hmm. I was like scrolling through Twitter a little bit before we hopped on, and Twitter was like very unsympathetic to her in that moment. And I'm trying to, with Meredith in general, kind of what we've talked about, like, I believe that she believes the things that she's saying generally. Yes. But this was like the one moment where I was like, I don't know if I think that you actually think that.
Yeah. You can kind of tell on her face that she's like, ooh, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if I should say this.
Yeah.
Well, there it is.
Well, it's out now. She can't take it back now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do think that, and I do think this is, like, why Brittany is so good on this show, is that, that was so dark, as Mary would say, very dark, and then Brittany takes it to a place of, like, we made up, I was crying, I was holding in my arms like a baby, and Meredith's like, I actually don't know what you're talking about. Like, I literally don't know. But, you know, that's real to Brittany. She's like, I have this memory of holding you and you
no,
crying.
They're both such unreliable narrators that I'm like, I don't even know how I'm going to be able to take a position here. And again, that's like starting to be how I feel about every single person on the show. Yes. And I don't know where that leaves us going into the next season.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like for next season, what are your predictions? Like, the only thing I really feel like is being set up is like Heather is very like, Meredith, you and me are done, 6 years of friendship, da 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 da, that she kind of, I think, wants to, you know, set up a Meredith versus Heather next season. But I don't really know what are your predictions for where the franchise has to go, other than more insane.
I think we need a new, like, really chaotic person.
Yes.
That's my, I guess, maybe not a prediction, but that's what I really want. And mm-hmm. I don't like somebody with Monica energy. I don't really care about if Monica ever is on my TV again, even though I did enjoy her in her season. I think I understand why that maybe shouldn't happen. But like somebody with that energy where maybe they're a little bit younger than a lot of them and they just come in and are just like so messy and so chaotic for the sport of it. Like, I think we're missing that a little bit because, I mean, Angie, like a lot of the women are, but we need somebody who like is new and fresh and can just like kind of rattle all of them in the way that Monica did.
Yes. I mean, even though like they kind of have a Katie from OC type in Brittany, where it's like she's such a different energy and so new to the game. Someone else who's very new to the game with how like complicated all of their relationships and like kind of stepping in and like messing things up and, you know, like, you know, just shaking things up, I think would be good. Or just someone who is strong and wrong. Just because it's like they're so well choreographed, they work so well together, but we need, you know, the element of chaos.
And especially because what we've been talking about with like the OGs being very comfortable and having a lot of power over the cast, like it would be nice to see them like get shaken up a little bit. And I guess like the Heather and Meredith thing, I don't know that I care to see a season that's centered around them feuding. Like that's like not that interesting to me.
Yeah, it's like that was really the back half of this whole season, I feel like. And so it's like, and it was the part of the season I didn't like as much, you know?
Yeah.
So
I also just feel like, yeah, it's kind of so obvious what Heather, like even in the moment that they hyped up in the trailer where she's like, buckle up, Meredith. Like, it was just so, like, random. Like, they had, like, barely even been, like, going at it. Like, it was such a brief interaction that led to that, that, yeah, it was so clearly, like, Heather trying to plant seeds for something.
Yeah.
And and that's just where I'm bored of Heather, unfortunately.
It's too, like, clunky, the exposition sometimes.
Yeah, we all see through it. Yeah. And it's sad because I really did try to like her, like, at the beginning of the season. I had a lot of issues with Heather last season, largely about her feud with Bronwyn, because I'm very defensive of Bronwyn.
Same.
But when Heather came in, like, ready to mend with Bronwyn, I was like, okay, like, this is a different side of Heather. And then, yeah, she just went back to just, like, the worst, most produced version of herself.
Yeah.
And I hope that eventually she can get past that. I am, like, somewhat sympathetic because I feel like I've had conversations with people where they're like, she's just probably so insecure and, like, thinks that her spot is in danger. And I'm like, okay, if she thinks that, she's delusional. Like, her spot is not in danger. Bravo was so obsessed with her.
Yes.
They literally will keep her. They just gave her that spinoff. Like,
yes,
her spot is as secure as anybody on this network.
Yeah, I do not think it's that, you know. But I do think it's like, you know, I do think she, they're all insecure. That's why they're all such good housewives. You know, they're
that's
all insecure
true.
In their own way. And that's why they're like the hardest workers. But like, yeah, I do think that it is a little bit of like, yes, she's insecure, but the power I do think is good. She likes the control too much.
Yeah.
And we can feel how much she likes the control. And we as viewers resent control. We want organic moments, you know?
Yeah. No, her, I get more negative comments about Heather than anybody else on this show. And it's not particularly close.
Wow. Yeah.
The people were not happy with her recently.
I wonder how she will deal with that, you know, because it's like she got a little backlash from Ultimate Girls Trip 3. And then, like, I feel like season 5, she got a little backlash at first. But then I feel like the tide shifted on Bronwyn when she went after Lisa. And so this season is probably going to be like her most backlash ever. And I wonder if she cares more about like what she does on the franchise, like, you know, moving all the pieces, being the puppet master, Lisa Vanderpump, or if she cares more about like the love of the viewers. It'll be interesting to see.
I took her changing course on Bronwyn as doing what she thought the audience wanted. So I'm curious to see if this next season, yeah, if she will make some other. I felt like that was like her being like, see, guys, like, I'm still nice. I still like people. And we'll see if she like has like a similar thing in the next season.
Yeah, we'll see. But I also think Bronwyn kissed the ring a little bit, where she, like, Heather was like, you know what, I love how you bring all this stuff to parties. And Bronwyn's like, then I'll throw the biggest party ever. I'll throw a tea party. I'll have Hollywood make a set. You know, like.
I love Bronwyn so much. She is so important to me. And I don't know if you saw yesterday, unverified people on Twitter were being like, there's rumblings that Bronwyn's not returning. And I'm like, don't even say that.
Oh my gosh, no.
I really hope there's no truth to that.
I hope so, too. I do, like, worry. I did worry about her somewhat this season just because I'm like, she's not, like, I don't feel like she has alliances or, like, those, like, strong bonds with anyone in the cast, really, but, like, Mary and then maybe Angie to a lesser extent. But I'm like, now that she's divorced, I feel like that's her chance to, like, really.
I think she's
going to
be a completely different person.
Yeah. I agree. I want to see that.
Yeah. Well, I think the people on Twitter were saying that if she were, I have literally no idea if this was true or not, to be so clear, so unverified. But they were saying that if she was leaving, that it was her choice. Oh, I don't know why she would do that. But no, yeah. I think she's going to be a totally different person. I think all of the like weirdness about her, like saying things and then taking them back, I think that was all like Todd related. And mm-hmm. I think that she'll be a much better housewife now that she is not with him. And
yeah.
Bronwyn, you better not leave me. I'll never Bronwyn. Forgive you. We're making a public plea.
Yeah, please, Bronwyn, please. We want to see your Amanda Bachelor moment. We want to see you step into your own. Because I do think that, like, even though the reason I love Bronwyn is because she's so confident in her insecurity. She's like, I don't care that everyone's, let the world see that I have to take so much shit from the people who I love the most. Like, let the world see it. Like, I'm okay with that. And I'm like, that's how I am. I'm like, you know, confident in my insecurity. But I also want to see her, you know, be able to forge bonds without, like, being made to feel guilty about it or feel ashamed of, like, being a housewife. So then I think that she'll be able to really embrace her destiny, you know?
Yeah, she was made for reality TV, and Todd is getting in the way of that.
Exactly. And then I do think, like, I don't think she would have gotten a divorce right before the reunion if she was going to walk away, right?
I wouldn't think so. I'm really hoping that there was no truth to that, and this was just a stupid Twitter thing. Because it was the same. I'm like, who are these people on Twitter that are, like, trying to raise my blood pressure? Because I feel like it was the same accounts that a month ago were like, Heather Dubrow might not be returning to OC, and I was like, stop taking all my perfect brunettes away from me. But I don't think that was true. I hope it's not true. If Heather Dubrow and Bronwyn both leave, I'm leaving. I'll quit Bravo.
I'm not renewing my contract.
Yeah. I'll change my name to something else. It won't be Josh Theronison anymore. I'll switch to a different network just to
TLC.
Spite them. Oh my god. No, that might be too far.
Yeah, no, a bridge too far. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been joining me singular, and Michelle in spirit.
Yeah, we miss her.
We miss her every day, our rest in power queen. It's so exciting watching you and watching you blow up, watching you getting all these opportunities. We feel like talent scouts where we're like, this guy is going to be big. And
you guys were early to me.
Yeah. Yeah. We know. We
my
know.
My first podcast.
Oh my gosh. That's so exciting. Yeah. Well, remember us when you're on Caller Daddy.
Oh my God. I don't know. I'm not sure I'll be doing that, but yeah, I guess I wouldn't decline if they reached out.
They come a knock in. If Alex Cooper comes a knock in, then
you can't say no.
You can't say no. You simply can't.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right. And you guys can find him on Instagram and TikTok, Josh Theroni Stan. Tons of great content, tons of great takes. He's right about everything, unlike us, where we just talk about what's funny. So follow him.
I try to be. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Boop. Bravo Breakdown.